Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Pamel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
The people of God said amen. The people of God said amen again. Would you help me celebrate God for His goodness? For His power, for His love, for His greatness, how great He is. He's worthy of all the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank God for this day that He has made. We ought to be rejoiced and be glad in it. We have so much to thank God for. We have so much to thank God for. So much to thank God for. Hallelujah. We greet you today in divine love in a name that is unlike any other name. In the name of Jesus, who hung, bled, and died one Friday evening, rose early one Sunday morning with all power in His hands. 50 days later, ascended to the Father and left His Holy Spirit for all of us to live victorious every day of our life. Glory to God. To all of our ministers that are here and the officers and members of this body, we thank God for your presence today, and we pray that you're glad to be here in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter number 19. Gracious God, we thank you today for this time with you, this time of worship, this time of prayer, this time of praise, and being in your presence. Thank you, O God, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your undying love that never wavers. We're sometimes faulty, we're sometimes shaky, we're sometimes inconsistent, but you are never changing God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we ask, O God, you forgive us and have mercy on us where we've fallen short of your glory, that you will heal us from the sin sickness, that you will lift us out of our dark place, that you will help us, O God, to understand how good we've got it as long as you're our Father and we're your children. We ask, Father, now as we have this conversation with Christ, that you will share with us that which you have for us to know, that we might be better for it. I yield myself to you, O God, asking you to use this vessel of clay however you see fit for the glory of you, O God. We ask, Father, that you will breathe on this word today with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what you have to say for such a time as this. Lord, we can't make it without your word. We're trying everything else, but only your word is what's going to work. Help us, Father, take a more serious, active approach to what your word says. Thank you, O Father, for this opportunity to hear from you, and we count it all joy. We pray, Father, if there's any sick that you will heal today, that you will set the captive free, that you will lift us out of the pit today, O God. Lift us out of this self-pity. Lift us out of this self-loathing spirit, and that we might understand, O God, that you are still God. You're the same God in the valley that you are on the mountaintop. You're the same God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 4. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of the Word, so my translation will be a little bit different from yours, but still be the word, yet and still. Are we there? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 4, reads thusly. Then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary juniper or broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. That's enough. We'll stop right there. Bless to those who read here and apply God's holy word. The word of God for the people of God. For a few moments today, I want to share with you from this thought, reflections from a rough day. I'll talk to you this morning about reflections from a rough day. Do you know what it's like to have a rough day? Well, you say to yourself, if it ain't one thing, it's another. When it rains, it pours. I take one step forward and get knocked back two steps. Is anybody in the sanctuary this morning or anyone under the sound of my voice who doesn't mind being honest and saying that you have moments in your life, even since you've met Christ, where you say it to yourself and God, enough is enough. Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can take. It's difficult at times to be honest with yourself, because often it's very difficult, it's easy to see your shortcomings and to look and assess your issues and your situations, but it's very difficult for many of us to take an honest look at ourselves and see that really sometimes it's not them that's the problem, sometimes it's me. And brothers and sisters, God comes today just to share a word with all of us that we can allow our present problems cause us to forfeit perpetual provision. That even on your worst day, when it feels like that everything is over, your God is still on the throne. He still sits high and he still looks low. And he's worthy of your praise even on the days that you don't feel like praising God. As a matter of fact, when you really start growing in God, you really start knowing God for who he is, your worst day is the best day to praise God like you've lost your mind. When you're struggling with stuff, that ain't no day to pout. When you're going through life, that ain't no day to sit there and mope. But when you're really struggling with life and life is hurting you and life is throwing you for a loop, that's the day that you ought to be grateful that you made it to God's house, that you made it to God's sanctuary. I couldn't wait to get to the house of God because I've got to praise my way through. I've got to worship even when I'm wounded. I've got to give him glory even though I'm going through. Is there anybody else in Zion this morning who knows what I'm talking about? That sometimes you've got to press your way through and praise God even in difficult circumstances. What you're dealing with today, brothers and sisters, God is growing you up. Because God is teaching you and I that you can't have things your way all the time. And you've got to stop allowing God just to be a God when you feel good. You got to stop just thanking God when you got a man.
Stop just thanking God when you got a woman. You got to stop just thanking God when you got money in your pocket. You got to stop just thanking God when you feel good. You got to stop just thanking God when everything is going your way. God is calling for you and I to live in a way so and praise him so that it don't matter what's going on around me, that's not going to take away the praise that's on the inside. But we've got to navigate today that the reality of rough days. I don't want to tell you today because God is good, and we all can agree today that God is good, so I don't want you to even put it in your vocabulary that you're going to have bad days. Because the truth of the matter is, as long as God is your God, you really can't have a bad day and serve a good God. But the truth of the matter is that even though we serve a good God, he allows us to live with some rough days. There are some days, y'all, that just don't feel good. And the reason why many of us can't even understand this today is because you've taught yourself and you've let society tell you that because you're a Christian, you won't go through stuff. Because you save, you won't have an obstacle. Because you pray all the time, people go leave you alone. Because you give your tithes and your offering that you will always have money. And you're finding out now that that don't always work the way society has taught you and the way people have taught you. Sometimes Christians get sick. Sometimes Christians get divorces. Sometimes Christians die. Sometimes stuff happens in your life, and it does not mean that God mad at you. Don't mean that God hates you. Don't mean that God got a problem with you. It means that God is developing you. And you've got to understand, y'all, to be what God called you to be, you've got to start letting God develop you. Because you never want to be a spoiled Christian. If everything went the way you wanted it to go, couldn't nobody talk to you? If everything went the way you said, if everything you laid hands on would turn to gold, you wouldn't need God no more. You would tell God to call you. And God knows us better than we know ourselves, and you know the real you, that if everything go the way you wanted to go, can I be honest? If stuff was going the way you wanted to go, some of y'all wouldn't even be in church this morning. If the truth be told, if stuff was going the way you wanted to go, you wouldn't even be at that altar a while ago. You wouldn't be looking so pious today if everything was going the way you wanted to go. Very few of us are here because we want to be. Some of us know that we need to be, because if I don't have Jesus, I'm going to lose my mind. If I don't get a word, I just might go crazy. If I don't get in the house of God, somebody go get these hands. Is there anybody else who don't mind telling the truth that I've got to get to the house of God because I'm not there yet? Because rough days happen. We have rough days. And stop trying to be super spiritual and act like you don't deal with life. Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. God got me in a place. You better deal with life and say, ouch, sometime. You ought to learn how to say, Lord, have mercy on me. You ought to be able to say, Lord, save me. God, I need you. See, some of y'all too deep for me. And the reason why you're sitting there living in your own stink, some of y'all drying up and dying because you won't be honest with yourself and say, Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, my heart is broken. Lord, I'm dealing with depression. Lord, I'm dealing with loneliness. Lord, that broke my heart. Lord, that tore me up. You keep showing up in church like ain't nothing wrong with you, but God ain't here to just make you perfect. God is here to help you go through stuff. Because I can't promise you that you won't deal with more rough days. But here's your celebration. That just because you have a rough day does not mean you got a rough life. Who am I talking to this morning who let one circumstance, one incident, cause you to believe that God threw with you? That God mad at you, or you've done something wrong, and you've condemned yourself because of one circumstance, one thing that did not go your way that day. And now you're taking it out on God. You're taking it out on people. Now I don't know why they love me. Nobody cares about me. I must not really know God. I must not really be deep with God, because if I really knew God like that, I wouldn't be dealing with this. And you've let good stuff happen to you. Make you base that as your relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is, I may be the only one to tell you the truth this morning, but sometimes the closer you get to God, the more hell come in your life. That when the devil attacking you, you ought to have some room to shout, because the devil would not attack who don't belong to him. And somebody ought to be able to give God praise that the devil's on my trail, I must be walking with Jesus. Can anybody just tell the Lord, thank you, that even though I'm going through, I'm not going through by myself. I've got to walk with him. I've got to talk with him. I've got a word in me. I've got his peace. I've got his joy. It can't be that bad if the devil bothers me. I must be on the right path. But we got to be able to navigate, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to navigate rough days. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And y'all, if it can happen to Elijah, yes, it can happen to your deep self. Yes, because Elijah, ladies and gentlemen, is the prophet of God. Yes. This Tishbite is the prophet of God. And here he is in chapter 19 on the run. Can the church say, on the run? On the run. He is running for his life. In chapter 18, one chapter before, he has had a victory on Mount Carmel. He has defeated and slayed 850 Baal prophets in chapter 18. And in chapter 19, verse number 1, he on the run. You missed it. Here's what you don't want to talk about today, but we got to be honest. Can we be honest just for a moment? I'll be out your hair. Can I just be honest with you just for a minute? That many of your rough days are going to follow your great days. Don't get caught up in your high moments of success, because just as quick as you got to the mountain, you can easily come to the valley. And who am I talking to today who doesn't come to understand why I just had it good yesterday? What happened today? In chapter 18, on Mount Carmel, y'all don't like me right now. In chapter 18, on Mount Carmel, he done defeated 850 Baal prophets. Whose God is the biggest God? You do what you need to do with your sacrifice. I'm going to do what I need to do with my sacrifice. And my God won, my God prevailed, your God still lost. And word got out. Ahab told Jezebel. The king reported to the queen. If I had time, I'd deal with that. But the king reported to the queen. And instead of the king saying, no mas, we better start serving Elijah's God, he went and told Jezebel, who just can't, she got to have the last word. If I had time, I'd deal with that, but I ain't going to bother that today. Y'all know I'm not messing. I wanted to preach that so bad, but I ain't going to bother that today, because ain't nothing, hell have no fury like a woman scorned. And Jezebel is hot as fish grease because her plan did not work. He correctly prophesied. He correctly prophesied that it would not be rain. He correctly prophesied. He stood boldly to Ahab and Jezebel and told them that it's for God, you better start serving. Stop turning to Baal, because Baal can't keep you. They would not listen. Here comes the famine. And on Mount Carmel, he had his greatest victory. But you got to understand something, because while he had his greatest victory, he is emotionally spent. He is spiritually spent. And that's when the enemy comes, when you're at your most vulnerable point, because you've used everything up to do what God called you to do. Be careful about how to handle yourself after your greatest victory. You just can't go everywhere, can't just talk to everybody, because you're open and you're vulnerable. Y'all see it? Y'all see it? He just came from Mount Carmel, but he's tired. And the sense and the human part of Elijah starts kicking in. Are y'all with me still? The human part of Elijah kicks in. Now he's the prophet of God. He's God's man. He's spoken truth to power to evil people. But in chapter 19, he gets in his feelings. He, in chapter 18, he defeats 850. In chapter 19, he's running from one woman. I thought I had some Bible readers. In chapter 18, he slays 850 Baal prophets. But one message from some ungodly woman, he on the run. And the God she trying to get you to be scared of is the gods that you defeated in chapter 18. And so you got to have some reflections. And this rough day got him because she sends word by this time tomorrow. In 24 hours, the same way you killed my prophets, same way I'm going to kill you. I'm sick of you, Elijah. I'm tired of you and what you represent. I'm tired of you and what you stand for. And I'm sending word to you that I'm going to kill you. By this time tomorrow, one more day, I swear on my life, Jezebel says, that this time tomorrow, you're going out of here. And for whatever reason, because Elijah's vulnerable, because he's just tired of fighting, he's tired of the constant yik-yak. I wish I had somebody help me there. He's just tired of fighting the same old stuff. And for whatever reason, this day, it just sent you over the edge. You had power for 3.5 years to stand up against this. But for whatever reason, she sent word directly to you, and today you run. You run. You run. And Elijah runs south, over 80 miles, south, southernmost part of Judah, to a place called Beersheba. He goes to Beersheba, and where King Jehoram is king. But that's a problem. I told you that for a reason. Because Jehoram is Ahab's son-in-law. So you're running from trouble into trouble. Oh, my God, who am I talking to this morning in this house? Who's running from what you're going to end up running back into? Who am I talking to who refuses to face what they won't fix? You're on the run from who you really are. You're on the run from facing challenges. And all this running going to do is get more trouble for you. Because now if you go stand for God on the mountain, you got to stand for him in the valley. And the problem, the truth of the matter is for many of us, you're not, the day ain't rough, you're running. And you done made it rough. Oh, man. The day ain't that bad if you will stay where God told you to go. But because you keep trying to do stuff your way, that's why life is getting rough for you. Because he makes the decision. Now, for 3 years from when you were introduced to him in chapter 16 and 17, he'd done everything the way God told him to do it. But in chapter 19, he started taking matters into his own hand, and he's headed for trouble. Who am I talking to trying to make your will be God's will? Because you got an opinion about how it should be, but it has nothing to do with what God says it ought to be. I know what God's word says, but I know what the Bible says, but what about you? But what about them? You, how you gonna tell me that? But look at you. Who am I talking to in the house? Who don't want to deal with them, but always got a word for somebody else. First reflection I see now, if you go handle rough days, you got to do this. Anybody interested in knowing how to handle a rough day? And if you want to handle a rough day, y'all, you got to learn to do one thing. First thing you got to do, you got to reflect on past provisions. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, under a juniper tree in Beersheba. He's in enemy territory sitting under the tree in the wilderness. Now, let me say this to you. Because I can't deal with past provision till I deal with present provision. Because some of us, you came in here and would not give God what he's due, but you got more reason to praise him now than you ever had. Because God has done stuff for you in the past, but God doing something for you even right now. You got breath in your body. You got people who love you. You got a roof over your head. You got clothes on your back. You got more than one reason to give God glory. I know they lied on you, but you can still give him glory. I know you got laid off, but you can still give him glory. I know you sick, but you can still give him glory. I know you're in pain, but you can still give him glory because you got something right now to thank God for. I just told you what happened. He's fled south to Beersheba, and he's in the wilderness. Now, let me tell you what he's done, which many of us do. Before he got to where he is, he dismissed his servant. He cut off the one person who was by his side. And who am I talking to in the house who's cut people off who are really trying to help you? And you made yourself be lonely, and you didn't have to be lonely. He told his servant, you stay here. I ain't left the Bible. He tells his servant, you stay here, I'm going on. Somebody who is hired, assigned to be by your side, and you cut them off. And who am I talking to? Who is cutting people off, who ain't doing nothing but trying to help you get through it. Because some battles you ain't got to fight by yourself. And you've isolated yourself, you've cut people off, you won't talk to nobody, won't open up to nobody, and God keeps sending you all the help that you've been praying for, and you keep telling them, stay there. And then you got a rough day telling you that you're all alone, but you made yourself alone. Oh. That's presently what you do. Then, here's another present provision you got going on. I'm going to deal with the past, but it's stuff that you got going now. Before you can reflect on how good God been, you got to see how good God is. You're in the wilderness. You're in the desert. And you under a shade tree. You're in enemy territory, on the run, somewhere you ain't got no business. You're living in disobedience, yet God's still covering you. And I wish somebody don't mind being honest in church and saying that even when I've been living in disobedience, God did not expose me to the elements. God still covered me so I could get myself corrected. If anybody don't mind giving God glory and saying, Lord, I thank you for the time that I was in my feelings, I was going the wrong way, and I thank you, Lord, that you didn't let me die in my sin, didn't let me die in the wilderness, that even though I was foolish, you still had me covered. In the wilderness, where does this broom tree come from? That you got a God who will let you be foolish and let you pout and cover you in your own foolishness. And you mean tell me you ain't got enough reason right now to tell the Lord thank you, and you know you was wrong as two left shoes, and only reason you ain't dead, only reason you ain't in jail, only reason you ain't in bankruptcy, only reason they ain't whoop you is because the Lord has shaved. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. There is a covering over all of you, and the only reason you can clown cause you covered. Only reason y'all ain't saying amen now is cause you're covered, cause ain't no way in the world you ought to be able to come in God's house and not give him praise, but some of y'all too covered and you can't even appreciate that. You've been in here for an hour, ain't told God thank you, ain't said hallelujah, ain't lifted your hands, ain't stood on your feet, ain't opened your mouth, and God's still covering you even in this. Can anybody tell somebody next to you, thank God I'm covered? Can anybody look up to heaven real quick and say, Lord, I thank you that you're covering me even in my confusion. Thank you for covering me even in my sin. Thank you for covering me even in my disobedience. Thank you for covering me even in my stubbornness. Thank you for covering me in my misery. Thank you, Lord, for covering me. Yes, Lord. Oh, who can I talk? Can I talk real? Y'all, I want to take a... The pain you complain about, somebody wish they could feel. The job you complain about, somebody wish they had. The money you don't have no more, somebody wish they could get rid of. The family that you complain about, they wish they had somebody. Can anybody start thanking God for what you do have? I thank you, oh God, that things are as well as they are. And it's all cause of God's. There ought to be a covered praise in the house right now. Even if you ain't got the blessing, you ought to thank him that you're covered. Even though you ain't got the breakthrough, you ought to thank him that you're covered. Even though you don't feel no better, you ought to thank him that you're covered. You might still be broke, but you're broke and you're covered. You might be confused, but you're covered. Might be sick, but you're sick and you're covered. And it's way better to be covered than to be exposed. Can anybody tell God, thank you for your hand being on my life, for your presence in my situation. Thank you, God, for covering. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your covering. That's the reason the world don't know the real you. It's because he's covering you. That's the reason people don't know you're a fake Christian. Because he's covering you. That's the reason people don't know that you're a hypocrite. Because he's covering you. Oh. It's been plots on your life. It's been people trying to expose you. It's been people trying to set you up, and you still getting fat because he covered you. And you ain't got no reason yet to tell the Lord thank you. And you think you had a bad day. Imagine your day and you were not covered. Imagine everybody knowing what's wrong with you. Because can I be honest that most of what's going on with you right now, nobody even knows. I wish I had somebody talk to me. Somebody living with a guilt that only you and God know, and he covering you from everybody knowing, because if everybody knew the real you, they wouldn't sit next to you, they wouldn't hear you preach, they wouldn't hear you sing, they wouldn't have hired you, they wouldn't have gave you the loan, they wouldn't have gave you the house, wouldn't have gave you the car, wouldn't have opened no door for you, but because God's hand has been on your life, that's your present provisions. But if that ain't good enough for you, Elijah, you got past provisions. Here you are on the run under a juniper tree, and you can't think enough reason to give God glory and understand your day ain't that bad. In chapter 17, verse number 1, after you've pronounced this famine, you have to now run for isolation. And you are finding yourself by the brook Cherith. And God so prophetically and powerfully provides for you that he has hunting animals feed you. That God gives you supernatural blessings. Uh-huh, y'all shut down then. Yeah. In chapter 17, God fed you through ravens. And ravens are designed by nature to take from you and not give to you. This shout is for the people who had the God had the enemy bless you, and they don't even know why they was blessing you. That they hadn't been talking about you, folk would have known your name. If they had been trying to set you up, the world would have seen your light. Dog, thank God right now for the folk who talked about you, because all it did was make you known for God. That ain't good enough for you, Elijah. Move a little further in chapter 17. When the brook dries up, I send you to a widow woman in Zarephath. And I send you to a widow woman who ain't got nothing, but she is already prepared to feed and take care of you. That's in chapter 17. That God's supernatural power done took care of you before. So here's my question. If God would do it then, if God took care of you then, I'm going to try one more time. If God took care of you then, if God can take care of you through ravens, if God can take care of you through widows, if God can take care of you through dry brooks, why he can't take care of you in the wilderness? Nowhere from chapter 17 to chapter 19 did God stop being God. You just stopped trusting him. Oh, boy. He didn't change. You did. You told that woman, that widow woman, in 1 Kings 17:13, you told her, fear not. Now look at you in chapter 19, verse 4. You told her, don't be scared. Now look at you 2 chapters later. Now you scared. Tuesday, you put on Facebook how great God is. Thursday, he broke up with you. Now you ain't got nobody. Oh, I just love God. God taking care of me and mine, but let something don't go your way. Now, you just prophesied Tuesday. God using you, and he taking you higher Tuesday. And Thursday, because you went through something. I don't know nobody love me. I ain't got nobody. All you H's who got something to say about me and mine, come see me now. But 2 days ago, you prophesied. You preach Tuesday, and you'll kill a Thursday. Because you ain't learned how to handle a rough day. Then when people inbox you and tell you don't do that, you're getting mad. Stay out of my business. Stop putting your business out there. Oh, I done messed up now, ain't I? Stop letting your emotions cause you to let the world know how you feeling.
Amen, Papa. Amen.
God, it's off the press. God is bigger than what you feel.
Amen, Papa.
You have faith in God. You don't have no feelings when it comes to God. Got quiet then. Tuesday, you preached. You spoke life on us. You blessed everybody in the city, in the field. I'm blessed. My family blessed. Home blessed. Somebody lied on you Wednesday. Thursday morning, ain't no God. I ain't going nowhere else. I don't know what to do with my life no more. Elijah, you told them in 17, verse number what? Number 13, you told her, the woman, widow woman, fear not. Now here it is in 19, verse 4, you fear.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. How you gonna comfort others about a God you ain't really believing in? How to reflect on past provisions. I got one more I want to tell you to help you get through a rough day. You interested? Even if you ain't, I'm going to tell you. Refuse pitiful prayers. If you're going to make it through a rough day, you got to stop praying stupid prayers. I can't be deep with y'all because y'all ain't no deep people. Stop praying foolish stuff. You're the prophet of God, Elijah, and you don't let this circumstance get you under shade. You're under a covering and still complaining. And who am I talking to who's in church today, and instead of giving God glory, you're giving God your wish list? I ain't told him thank you, but you keep asking please. Oh, I'm preaching, Ben, y'all looking. Oh, Lord. I had enough. Let me die now. Take me now, Lord. Take me now. Take me, Lord. I done had enough. I can't do this anymore. Elijah, for 3.5 years, you done seen me get put ravens and feed you. You have stood bold in front of 850 false prophets. You have faced and stood and told truth to power to a king and a queen. And because they don't like you, and they done showed you they don't like you, you want me to kill you. You really don't want to die, because if you wanted to die, you'd have done it yourself. You go ask me to do something against my will. Because if it was my will to have you do all that, why would it be my will to take you like that? And how many of us have talked to God in a foolish manner because we were in a tight spot? You said some silly stuff in your prayers. Here's your shout. Aren't you glad the Lord ignored you sometimes? I ain't got nothing deep about that. Ain't you glad the Lord ain't pay you no attention when you was saying stuff? You ain't had no business. You want God to get them and he ain't get you? God ain't messing with your baby. Lord, they messing with your child. Lord, get them people who been evil. And if you been the first one he went got? Y'all don't want to help me, now do you? Aren't you glad the Lord loves you enough so much to ignore you? Okay, I thought y'all was going to say amen on that one. Aren't you glad that in your silly times that you still have, even since you've been saved, Lord, thank you that you ain't pay me no attention. Because where was my head at to say something like that to you? Take me now, God. Don't take me. I quit. Take it. I had enough. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of me. I'm just sick of it. Take me, Lord. And the Lord just look at you. And when you get done, he's still there. The situation's still there. Now you ready to go and move on? Y'all mad now, ain't you? God don't do nothing but let sit there and let you think about the foolish stuff you just said. One day, one rough day, and listen to what you said in your prayers. And if you can't pray for yourself right, how I'm going to use you to pray for others? You keep asking God to enlarge your territory, but you can't handle you. You so up and down with your prayer life. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you feel good. That's what's wrong today. Listen, y'all, good as God been, much teaching, much Bible as y'all get, y'all still come to church in your feelings. You praising God because you feel it, and you're not praising God because you don't. Corey started playing the drums. Y'all kind of got with it. Your favorite person ain't here, you don't even care. Who you been trying to impress ain't show up, so you ain't really got no point in being here. You know, pastoring is hard work. Because y'all want to act like this ain't who y'all, what y'all doing. But you want God to use you. But God can't use you when you want to be used. Because every day won't be the stuff that you want it to be. Amen, and you'll know you're growing in Christian maturity when you realize you don't get your way and it don't make you go crazy. Amen. That you'll praise God with a drum, praise God with a keyboard, and if they ain't got no keyboard or drum, I'm still going to praise God, because all I needed was space and opportunity. All I need y'all to do is unlock the doors, and I'm coming in here and I'm going to praise God. I'm going to blow the roof off. That's how I know, y'all, we ain't growing like we should. Because we're still letting too many conditions be conducive for us to give God what he's due. Now, if y'all were in Bible study Wednesday, y'all heard something. And I got in trouble Wednesday. Can I go and get in trouble real quick, Sunday proof? There were three types of people, according to the book of James, that come to church. You got one group who's afflicted, who's dealing with life. And James says to those people, they're supposed to come and pray and ask the Lord to help them. There's a second group of people who are happy. Things are going the way they want them to go in their life, and they come to church and they give God praise. And there's a third group of people who come to church who are sin sick, who are so full of sin that they need the Lord to forgive them and have mercy on them. But the only problem is none of those three groups are quiet. All three of those groups ought to have something to say. And I'm looking at people today who done came in God's house who meet all three categories and ain't told God nothing yet. You either sin sick, you afflicted, or you ought to be happy. You ought to be one of them. You should have said something when you came in the house. Take me, Lord. I've had enough. I'm no better than my ancestors who came before me. I never told you to compete. You done got so caught up in your own hype, Elijah, that you started to think this about you and not about me. Because why are you bringing up ancestors about a present ministry? I'm trying to keep the family name up. I'm trying to keep it up for Big Mama and them. Big Mama and them raised me to be this. What did God raise you to be? You starting to think this about you and not God. And thank God for a rough day to show you yourself. Because if it was a good day, you never would have seen yourself. Lord, have mercy. Rough days reveal your character better than good days do. What kind of character? Who are you when nobody's watching? You shout when you got money. You shout when you're broke. Ain't nothing like a broke shout. Ain't nothing like a broke. Thank you, Lord. I'm hungry, but thank you. I don't know how you're going to pay it, but thank you, Lord. I can't even afford this shout, but thank you. See, y'all got too much. Y'all don't know how to praise God. Y'all, oh, thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks a lot, big guy. But you don't have to have a rough day. You don't have to be in the valley. Lord, I thank you. When Peter was drowning in the water, Lord, save me. I ain't got time to be deep. I ain't got time to be pretty. Lord, save me. And when you having a rough day, you reflect on past provisions. Refuse those pitiful, pointless prayers. But then lastly, receive power to proceed. Aren't you glad today that the Lord didn't listen to you? When you prayed stuff that was not in his will. And look what the Lord has prepared. He knocked him out, go sleep. He brings an angel once Elijah done pitiful to himself to sleep. Y'all missed it. He done had a pity party and wore himself out from his own pity party and went to sleep. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. I don't think y'all get this yet. He under a shade tree. He done got so cool it done made him comfortable. Because if you're in the wilderness, how you gonna fall asleep under all that sun? Y'all missing it, God. What kind of God lets you sleep in a storm? What kind of God lets you have peace in the midst of your problem? I thought you wanted me to take you. What you doing going to sleep? Lord, have mercy. Go to sleep, Elijah. Maybe you just ain't had enough rest. You talking out your head. Go to sleep. And when he wakes up, God sends an angel and had a prepared baked cake. Now, I did not tell you that I told you he was in the wilderness. He ain't in no kitchen. He's in the wilderness under a shade tree. He ain't in no kitchen. He ain't in Beersheba restaurant. and a cake that's baked already is there for him, along with a cruise of water. All I told God was that I'm tired of this and I had enough. I never asked God for no food. And you got a God who will give you what you need even when you ask him for what you want. Y'all missing God. Maybe you need some rest and then you need some recovery. Go to sleep, then when you get up, eat. Can I shout you? He eats so good, he go back to sleep. Y'all. Eat some cake, drink some water. Ooh, that's good. Go to sleep. Lord, wake him up again and get him some more cake and some more water. Because this time, the first feeding was for recovery. Now, this recovery is for ministry. Because I'm not through with you yet. You might be through with me, Elijah, but I ain't through with you. And who am I talking to in New Zion? You are through with God, but God ain't through with you. God got more for you. God got places he want to take you. God got more he want to show you. Go to sleep. Let him take care of you. And when he take care of you, you got power to keep on going. That's the kind of God you serve. And that's why midnight, ladies and gentlemen, only lasts 60 seconds. Midnight, ladies and gentlemen, is from 12 to 12:01. And my Bible tells me in Psalm 30 that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And if you can just hang on in there 60 seconds, that rough day can turn into a recovery day. It can turn into a restoration day. It can turn into a revival day. But too many of y'all won't trust God beyond that day. That's the kind of God you serve. Stop letting rough days define you. I know another man had a rough day. One Friday, it was a rough day. They nailed his hands and they put a crown of thorns on his head and he bled and died. That was a rough day. And he took on a rough day so you could have a good day. And he stayed there all day Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. And that's why you can't stay miserable. You can't stay depressed. You can't stay moaning. You can't stay weeping because God has a prescribed recovery with your name on it. It's time for you to come out of it. It's time you come out of this self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself. Want everybody to feel sorry for you. It's time for you not to be praying for others and everybody not pray for you. It's time for you not to be one of the altar helpers and not one of the altar takers. It's time for you not to rise up out of that pit and walk into a palace. It's time for you now to raise up and be strength for somebody else. You can't be weak all the time. You've been with God too long. You know how good he is. You done seen him move in your life, seen him move in your body, seen him move in your family, seen him move in your church. You ought to be testifying now. You ought to be sharing of his goodness. You ought to be living with a light. You ought to be walking in power. You ought to be walking with the word. You ought to be walking in peace. I quit. I'm quitting. I'm looking at y'all, and I know many of y'all personally. And I've seen God work on your life. I've seen God work in your life. And why are you still in God's house looking like God ain't good? Why are you sitting there with your mouth stuck out? Why are you there with your arms folded up? You know better than anybody how God will save you. You know better than anybody how God will lift you. You are your own testimony. You know he'll heal you. You know he'll deliver you. You know he'll give you strength. You know he'll give you power. You know he'll protect you. You know he'll give you favor. You know he'll open doors. You know he'll open windows. if it brought me through that, he'll bring me through this. If it bring me through this, he'll bring me through that. If he brought me from there and brought me to here, he'll bring me from here and take me on to there. This too. Glory, 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 glory. It's rough. But I made it. It's tough, but I made it. I made up in my mind, I'm gonna trust the Lord. I made up in my mind, I'm gonna serve the Lord. I made up in my mind, I'm gonna stand his word. It don't always be like this. It won't always feel this way. Sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor. I won't always be like this. Temporary pain, I can handle the temporary pain. I can partake of the suffering, cause one day I'm gonna partake of the glory. There will be glory, glory, glory after this. Tell somebody next to you, there will be glory after this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give me my singles up here. Give me my singles up here quickly, quickly, quickly. And this time we're going to sing it like we believe it. This time we're going to sing it like we know it. We're going to sing that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Even if it's rough, I'll rejoice. Even when it's good, I'll rejoice. Even if I'm going through, I'll rejoice. Even if I got it, I'll rejoice. Even if I don't feel good, I'll rejoice. Even when I feel good, I'll rejoice. Cause this is the day. And this time we're not gonna drag. This time not gonna go through the motion. This time we're gonna sing it like we know God is good. He made this day. He made us. And we're gonna sing it with power. We're gonna sing it with conviction. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The day don't define me. I define the day. Somebody ought to tell God, thank you, that my problem don't define me. I define the problem.